I'm in extremely dangerous territory this morning. I'm going to encourage you to not do anything if you can't do it with joy. Some of you understand the danger. I even said this in front of a Methodist congregation many years ago. I said, if you can't enjoy the experience of being here, just get up and walk out. And a 14-year-old boy got up, tried to walk out. His mama grabbed the back of his belt and dragged him back into his seat. I felt kind of bad about that. I thought he should be rewarded for his honesty. People do pretty much what they want to do. All the time. We may do it out of a sense of obligation. We may even do it out of guilt. But it is still what we want to do. Think about your own life. Notice your own life. When you really don't want to do something, you'll get sick. Or you'll break something. You'll have an accident. You may even go crazy. Maybe you hate your job. Careful. Do you know the number one hour in America for a heart attack? 9 o'clock Monday morning. There are people in this country who hate their job so badly they'd rather have a heart attack at 9 o'clock on Monday morning than go to work. All this brings us to Martha Beck's wonderful book, Finding Your Own North Star. The cover of the book is on the cover of your order of service. I give the book a lot of credit for my being here this morning and my having served this congregation for the last 7.5 years. That book set me on a career path that has brought me here. That book encourages me every day to enjoy my work. And by nitty dingo, I do enjoy my work. Let me share a quote from the book. Martha Beck writes, "Miracles happen when you're so in love with your life that pushing yourself is actually easier than stopping. When you do without doing, joyful activity adds real value to the world, and adding value is the heart and soul of success." Obviously, this book is about career, and what it has done for my career has been absolutely wonderful. But I hope you will read the book and do some of the exercises in an even broader context. What brings joy to your life? What brings joy to your life? Do more of that. What brings drudgery to things you don't want to do? Do less of that. Do less of that. Follow your heart. Follow your bliss. Make hay while the sun shines. Shoot for the moon. Go for the gusto. Have a good time. Live it up. Live it up. Why not? Listen to these words again. Joyful activity adds real value to the world. That is quite a claim. But think about it. Joy is really quite the juice. On a number of occasions, I have quoted both Gandhi and André Gide recommending joy, encouraging it. Joy, joy, joy. Gide says joy is a moral obligation. And Gandhi says all pleasures and possessions fade into nothingness compared to service rendered in a spirit of joy. This is Easter Sunday morning, and we are again confronted with the central story in the Christian nomenclature. Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose on Easter Sunday morning. That is one more story. Because the old Unitarian preachers of roughly 200 years ago looked with a jaundiced eye on this story and speculated maybe it didn't happen exactly like that. Because of that, we are often denied the joy of listening to this story. But wow, This is an amazing story. Stunning. It's an exhilarating riff on how life works and how life doesn't work. There is one school of Christianity that says this is about getting into heaven. And in that school of Christianity, they build buildings, they sing songs, they write books, they have published materials. It's all about getting into heaven. They're trying to get you into heaven. But there is another school of Christianity. There is another school of Christianity that teaches this Easter story is victory over death by a character who made peace, who befriended the poor, who fed the hungry, who healed the sick, and himself brought dead people back to life. Occasionally, I have been in workplaces and seen signs that read, "If you don't believe the dead come back to life, you should be here at quitting time." The thrust of this other school of Christianity, I should probably use my left hand to talk about this one, this other school of Christianity, is that Jesus embodied justice and healing and food for the hungry and freedom from Roman oppression. This school teaches that the oppressive oligarchs and corporate manufacturers of processed foods killed Jesus. But they could not keep him in the grave. He was practicing a Bernie Sanders style of politics and liberation theology. Jesus was clearly on a mission to overthrow the dominant paradigm, and because of that, the thugs of corporate oligarchy killed him. But they could not keep him in the grave. This guy had a message that would not die. Whether it was a literal resurrection or a metaphorical resurrection. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. It's a mighty good story. It's a mighty good story. And we Unitarian Universalists lose nothing if we catch the joy of working to end the corporate oligarchs who want to charge high interest rates to poor people, or practice mass incarceration, or the redlining of African American neighborhoods to prevent home loans, or drug laws designed to be harder on poor people and people of color than they are on rich and middle class white people. We lose nothing. We lose nothing if we catch that resurrection. The story goes that Jesus not only healed poor people and fed poor people, but he believed in democratic socialism. And that democratic socialism would have us do unto the least among us the same things that are done to the people who live in Trump Tower. If you don't believe it, look it up. It's in the Bible. 25th chapter of Matthew. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren and sistren, you have done it to the people who live in Trump Towers. Go home and look it up. That's a good story. It's a story worth telling. But what does that have to do with finding the joy of your own North Star? What does that have to do with living a joyous life? We are in a time when liberal religion, democratic socialism, utopian dreams of a better day, they've all been electrified with new enthusiasm and joy. What we do as individuals can be imbued with joy and result in new service, new generosity, new change for the better in our individual lives and in the lives of our families. What we do as a congregation can be equally joy-filled and productive and effective. And finally, what we do as a nation can dance to the rhythm of the joy that comes of finding a worthy North Star and following it. On the one hand, such North Star following is as simple as being present to the presence that is here and now. In the present moment, we can breathe deeply of what is fully alive in us, noticing the universe operating perfectly all around us. On the other hand, this path takes the work of paying attention deeply to that which brings us to life, writing down what we find, looking back at those notes, and following the best path we can find. Be watchful. Pay attention to living up to other people's expectations. How many times a day do you do what you think somebody else wants you to do, as opposed to following your own bliss, your own guiding light, your own passions and dreams, your own North Star, your own corner of the sky? Thank you, Dr. Elser. This is both very simple work and very arduous. It is simple in that it involves a wakeful attitude toward the present moment. Be here now. It is arduous in that it may require you many steps before you learn to dance, many notes before you learn to sing, many acts of checking and rechecking before you dive into the waters below the cliff you're standing on. And let me say emphatically, you won't get it from one sermon or one song by Dr. Elser. I read the book. I did the exercises, and bingo, I saw my North Star clearly. It said, "Go to work for the people at the Greenville Unitarian Universalist Fellowship." So I did. It was just about that blazing. But you might read the book, do the exercises, and not get it. More likely, you aren't even going to read the book. But don't dismiss this notion that there is a North Star in your life, a guiding light that will pull you into a more joyous life, a life of celebration and fun, a life of fulfilling, joyous service, generosity, work, play, relationships, however joyous freedom might express itself in your life. Some of you already know what I'm talking about. You found your North Star and are navigating your life by the joy it has brought you. You have found engagement, excitement, the thrill of the ride, the growth that sometimes comes of struggle. But others of you are caught in wondering what to do next. Some of it is born of our national crisis, the darkness and fear brought on by the madness in our current government. But that is not the only source of wondering and wandering. Some of it is related to career, family crisis, sickness, or grief. This congregation has known a particular intersection with grief, and it can be horribly demoralizing. Every day we need the strength, the energy, the passion of choosing a joyful North Star. What is it for you? What is it for you? Only you can answer that question. My father loved to quote Longfellow's Psalm of Life, "Be not like dumb, driven cattle. Be a hero in the strife." He also liked, "Let us be up and doing with a heart for any fate." I once mentally heard that line after slamming the trunk of a car on my thumb. So I had a lot of pain in my thumb, but I had a heart for any fate. Voltaire told us, "It is not the cards we are dealt, but the way that we play them that matters." Maybe living this joyous life, maybe living so engaged, so enthusiastic, is best illustrated by an old Joe Namath football story. University of Alabama, under the coaching of Bear Bryant and under the quarterbacking of Joe Namath, had the game sewed up. They were 4 points ahead. They were 10 yards from the other team's goal line. There was 15 seconds left on the clock. If they won that game, their season would be successful. They had an invitation to the Cotton Bowl. All they had to do is run out the clock. Coach Bryant sent in the play. ground the ball, run out the clock. But Joe Namath was a smart aleck. He decided to throw a pass. He decided he wanted a little bit more glory in that game. The pass was intercepted. The young man who intercepted the pass was the fastest runner in the NCAA. Joe Namath had bad knees. Joe Namath chased this fastest runner all the way down the field and at the last possible second tackled him. The clock ran out. The opposing coach walked across the field to congratulate Coach Bryant and to ask this question. He said, "I don't understand what just happened." He said, "My boy is the fastest runner in the NCAA. Your boy has bad knees." And Coach Bryant said, "Well, you need to understand, your boy was running for a touchdown. My boy was running for his life." So that's how you do it. That's how you do it. You run for your life. Run as if your life depended on it. Follow your North Star as though your life depended on it. Anything less is selling out. So this morning, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus as you will. Hunt your Easter eggs. There is an Easter egg hunt happening right after this service. Have a big family meal. Eat some chocolate rabbits. And as you do, consider the work ahead to find a North Star that will guide you into a joyous life. Don't settle for less. Be that joyous person. Live that joyous life. Don't stop until you find it.